Now Taz is dominating the audio world with his award-winning human podcast machine.
Welcome!
Hey, this is the Fantasy Draft Edition.
I love this reaction show
for the Celebrity Edition of HPM.
The human podcast machine.
Try to keep up.
You're not afraid of a little competition, are you?
This is Taz, the human podcast machine.
What's up, boys and girls? This is he, Taz. As you heard, yes, the human podcast machine. I am that guy. And this is that show. Thank you for downloading and or subscribing to the show. And thanks for your patience. I've been laying a little low. Had a little vacation last week. Had to get a little R&R with my family and get away. And I was able to actually drop one of those shows last week while I was on vacation. But still, it wasn't really a vacation, but it was. But I wasn't home, so it was a vacation. So, I thanks for the patience. What I mean by that is that a lot of you guys have been like, yo, we need more HPM TAZ. What's going on? We need more human podcast machine. Where's Taz Live? Where's this daily deal? What's going on? As I've been saying, just chill. We are, ultra, super skinny close here. I'm hoping that by next week, early next week, to drop the details on what's going on with me come the fall. And so just be patient. Next week, I will probably drop two shows next week. Actually, for just about the whole month of August, to be honest with you, there'll be two HPMs each week. So we're going to start cranking up. We're starting to crank up here at Play It and CBS Radio with yours truly, the human podcast machine. So in this particular show, I am going to give you a reaction to, which a lot of you guys have been asking me, because about Hulk Hogan. And I'm going to do that in a little while here on in this episode. I also want to give you a point of view slash reaction to some elements on Monday Night Raw last night. The show got a lot of good reviews. I think a lot of people liked the show. I'm not going to go through match by match, segment by segment. I did watch most of the show. You know, 3 hours is a lot to commit to, as most of you guys can understand. But I do watch most of it when I, you know, if I'm going to do a full review, I'll watch the whole show, obviously. But the few things that stuck out to me in no particular order was the, it's great to see, you know, some of the divas from NXT on the main roster, and I guess they're going to segue to being part of the main roster straight up, like the NXT champion Sasha Banks and Becky Lynch and Charlotte. I mean, it's just, I got to say, it's great seeing these girls do their thing. All three of them are so uniquely talented in their own right. They all look great. They do a tremendous job. It's just excellent seeing them on the main roster. I hope that WWE can, and I think they're doing it now a little bit, so I don't know if it's their plan to go forward with it, but I hope they can keep balancing talents, NXT talents from the main roster, and still do NXT stuff. I think that what you will see with that, in my view, is once they're comfortable that they're building enough younger talent NXT, you'll see guys like Kevin Owens completely segue out of NXT. That's what I think will happen. So they're probably not comfortable yet moving, you know, let's say the three divas straight to the main roster, meaning Becky and Charlotte and Sasha, or Kevin Owens, maybe teetering, or let's say, Finn, Balor. It could be a thing where they're waiting, they're waiting to build the other talents at NXT to a higher level. You know, for example, so I think it's the young man Tyler Breeze. You know, he's been doing this thing for a while now on NXT. He's very talented, right? So now he's going to work with Liger at their big Brooklyn show the day before SummerSlam. That's huge. That's huge for a kid like Tyler Breeze. That's a huge rub to go in there with a legend like Liger and do your thing. And that really, with the hardcore fans, puts you even over the top, in my opinion. And some casual fans that go to the NXT show or want to see the broadcast of it on the WWE Network, I think that, too, is a huge thing. And actually, speaking of SummerSlam, WWE Network, just a quick opinion. You heard Triple H at the top of Raw talk about they're adding another hour I guess, to the big show at the end of the, you know, SummerSlam, the biggest party of the summer, as they call it. So I think that's huge. It's even more. I mean, four hours, that's insane. That's just huge. It's WrestleMania-esque, you know, so I think that's cool. But back to the point about the talent. I think that the NXT stuff, you know, I think once you build enough of your younger, the greener end of the roster, and they're getting some credibility, and they're learning how to work better and cut better promos or whatever, I think then you'll see complete cutoff of, let's say, Kevin Owens, as the guy I keep using as an example, because he's probably one of the bigger push guys from NXT to the main roster. He'll be completely done, I would think. You know, I think they got a great structure between the main roster and NXT right now. So kudos to the WWE. I don't know if it's Triple H or Stephanie or Vince McMahon. I'm sure it's a team effort. It's good. It's good the way they're doing it. I really think it is. NXT is becoming a household name now amongst casual fans. And, you know, as I mentioned, casual fans a lot because, you know, all you hardcore fans, most of my listeners are hardcore wrestling fans. But and I know that from my past and all. And the years I've been in the business, but you guys are all smart enough to know that it's not about us, it's not about you guys, it's about the casual fan. The big companies, namely WWE, they want to hook on a daily basis or weekly basis the casual fan. That's who they want. And they know they're always going to have you. They're always going to have me. They're going to have that hardcore fan, the dedicated fan. They're going to have that fan always, to hook or crook, no matter if it's a good show, bad talent, good talent. A real wrestling fan is a real wrestling fan through thick and thin. The casual fan comes and goes. WWE wants the casual fan to build and become and evolve into hardcore fan and keep building the casual fan base. So by branding NXT on Raw a lot or SmackDown or what have you, I think that's a huge plus. I think that's smart, and it makes NXT a household name amongst casual fans also. So I think that's big. So, again, back to my original point. Again, kudos and great to see those young ladies from NXT rocking and rolling on the main roster. That's real cool. That's just stuck out to me. I know they've been doing it now a couple of weeks on Raw because Stephanie put the Diva Revolution. I might have screwed that name up. Revolution of Divas. Diva Revolution. Join the Revolution. I digress. The other thing that stuck out to me on Raw was Titus O'Neil, and I tweeted about this. He was with his tag team partner. They were sitting there doing color commentary as guest, and Titus said, "Hey, me and JBL made up and stuff like that." I thought that made for good TV, that they were bickering, and JBL, you know, kind of, he kind of took the high road, and Titus did his thing verbally, and when you're an announcer and you're at the desk, you know, it's not about you, it's about the talent. So you can't just chop up the talent verbally. You can, but you can get heat. So you want to always do the job to the talent. I'm not saying that JBL, that was his thought process. I don't know what his thought process was. I don't think it was that big of a deal. I thought it was entertaining the last time Titus was on commentary and he kind of went at JBL a little bit here and there verbally. I thought it was good TV. I thought it made for good TV. Unfortunately, I can't remember the match that was going on in the ring because I was kind of distracted by the commentary, but that happens sometimes. But now to last night, I think that Titus, again, was excellent at that announce desk. And you got three commentators there in Cole, Saxton, and JBL. And the guy who was carrying the call of that long match was the guest, Titus O'Neil. And I tweeted something in joking sarcasm, like, you know, Titus O'Neil's carrying the desk, whatever I said, you know, again, you know. It could be a combination of a couple things. It could just be that he's that good on a stick, and he is. He's very talented. I think he's got definitely a bright future as a commentator, in my opinion. But I also think that maybe those announcers, especially, you know, guys that are seasoned like Michael Cole and JBL, they might just be sitting back and letting him do his thing, or they might just be at a loss for words and not have nothing to say. If you're an announcer and you got nothing to say at the desk, then you shouldn't be getting paid and you shouldn't be the announcer. Byron Saxton really just kind of, he disappears at times on there. I can't even tell if he's talking or not. His voice is not distinctive. You know, JBL's voice is distinctive. You know, to me, I'm, you hear Jerry Lawler, his voice is distinctive. Jim Ross, his is distinctive. You know, Booker T, his is distinctive. I think Corey Graves, a little bit, his voice is a little bit distinctive. You know, I believe in it. I think Mike Tenay's voice is distinctive. I think the bland vanilla voices some of these guys have, play-by-play or color commentators, to me, I'm like, okay, that's cool, but then you need someone with a powerful voice. So, for example, so Michael Cole's voice could be considered a basic voice. A basic voice that sounds like a broadcaster, but there's no distinctive sounds or tones to it, or accent or dialect or nothing. Where when I was working with Cole, everybody could tell it was me. Everybody could tell he was Cole because it was a two-man team. Okay, you hear JBL and Michael Cole's a two-man team. You know who's JBL because you know the other guy talking is not JBL, it's Michael Cole. JBL's got kind of an accent. I have a horrible Brooklynese accent, and I kill the English language. Jim Ross, heavy Southern drawl. Okay, also like me at times, maybe might butcher some English language a little bit. That was our shtick. So certain voice tones, in my opinion, you need to have that certain voice tone that stands out. You need an A and a B, a type A and a type B. You don't need an A and A. You don't need a B and a B. You need an A and a B. Bass, treble. What makes a good stereo? Bass and treble. So I was bass, Michael Cole was treble. I was bass, Mike Tenay was treble. I was bass, Joey Styles was treble. I'm just saying, like using me as an example. You know, and it's not just me. You can do that with any commentary team. But when you have a three-man booth, it changes the stereo a little bit. So now it's like I got to listen to who's who. And I feel, my opinion, that Byron Saxton gets lost in the shuffle a little bit with that. Because his voice isn't distinctive. And at times, Michael Cole can get lost in the shuffle, but he's smart enough to stand up as the type A lead play-by-play guy. That's just my shtick on it. I know sometimes people think I'm bashing on Byron Saxton, who I don't even really know, and I'm not bashing the guy. I have nothing against the guy. I'm just giving you my professional opinion. So if you guys want me to be Mr. Nice Guy out here, then I'm sorry. Then don't listen to the show. It's that simple, because that's not who I am. And once I'm doing what I'm going to be doing, you know, come soon here, and you're going to be hearing a lot of me, I'm probably not going to be too nice at all, to be honest. So, so I'm just letting you know. I thought Titus O'Neil did a great job on the deal. I mean, he was doing everything, play by play, color. He was doing the whole thing. Were those guys letting him? Obviously, maybe they were told their headsets, chill out, let him do his thing, or maybe they had nothing to say. If they had nothing to say, that's a problem. If they were told not to say nothing, which is probably the case, then I get it. Enough of that. And then the last thing that stuck out to me, which a lot of folks were talking about, is the Cena Rollins deal, the match where that strong knee to the face, a Muay Thai like knee by Seth Rollins, right in the nose, busting the nose of John Cena. And people were going crazy about this, and photos all over Twitter and social media and other media outlets, not just wrestling, showing pictures. Oh, my God, WWE wrestler John Cena's nose broke. You thought it was fake? Maybe it's not fake. All this stuff. I think that's great. I think it's great for the business that mainstream people, not just fans, can see how physical the business really is and the credit's not given to the talent in every company. And the respect is not given to the talent enough. The men and women and the bodies that are put on the line out there, and your body and your face and your limbs and your joints. And you go out there, if you're working, if you got 102 fever or you got diarrhea or you're sick or your body's hurt, and you suck it up and you go out and you work. And then you get injured. I mean, I also noticed that people are saying, oh, John Cena's a tough SOB. Oh, my God, he completed the match and all this. He should complete the match. That's his job. That's what wrestlers do. And I tweeted kudos to John Cena for finishing the match because he's tough. He is tough. And he should finish it. And that didn't surprise me he finished. You know, because that's what you do. You finish the match. That's what wrestlers do. Unless you physically can. And that happened to me once. When I broke my neck, I tried. And thank God to, you know, Eddie Guerrero, rest his soul, God rest his soul, who was my tag team partner, he completed that match. My biggest concern when I was laying on that apron, when I couldn't feel a lot of my body in Fort Lauderdale against Too Cold Scorpio and Dean Malenko was, oh my God, I can't finish the match. How are we going to finish this match? And then Eddie was doing his thing. I wasn't even worried about my own safety. I was worried about the match being completed. Okay, because that's what wrestlers do. And John Cena did that. He finished the match. He sucked it up. He is tough. I've said that forever about the guy. There's no doubt about it. He's tough. He's damn right tough, you know. And there's a lot of guys and gals just as tough as him that are working in companies all over the world, from little indie shows to Ring of Honor to Lucha Underground to New Japan to WWE to TNA. It's wrestlers finish. You finish. You got to be tough. You know, and I started laughing when I saw all the hype about it online. I'm like, this is cruel. It's cool. It's good. It's good. It is. But I'm thinking about, I got to go back and be that ECW guy, right? I'm like, I remember looking at my brethren in the locker room during those ECW years, guys that were battered and beaten on a nightly basis, and no one gave a rat's ass, except for the guys in that locker room. There was no tweets about it. There was no, you know, media about it. No TMZ tweeting about it, or Complex.com tweeting about it, or any of these pop culture Twitter accounts or social media accounts. Nobody was talking about it. There was none of those around then. I know that. But nobody cared. And we didn't care that nobody cared. You go out and you work. You get banged up. You get banged up. You suck it up and you go. I mean, Jesus, if Twitter was hot during the Sabu years, or the stuff I saw happen to this guy, he the injuries, he would have been tweeted about every day. You know, stuff I saw happen to him, or the Dudleys, or Dreamer, forget about it, or the gangsters. I mean, it was like insane. I mean, Perry Saturn I saw, forget about, busted open bad. I mean, bad. I mean, that's like, and it kept working. I mean, just... I can go on and on. The Pitbulls. I mean, go on and on about stuff I've seen. Shane Douglas working with his shoulder limb basically torn apart, just working. I mean, just... And it wasn't just ECW. It was a bunch of us back then. But that's the business. That's what wrestlers do. That's where you get hot. Guys that have pride and gals that have pride in the business that come from that right generation. How dare you disrespect what we do in that ring? Because of the sacrifice physically that we put out, and we choose to, but damn you if you disrespect that. So I felt like, hey, you know what? It's cool to see the media on social media just talking about a simple little broken nose like Cena had. You know, and you know, I'm sure he's fine. He's tough as nails. And I'm sure if you talk to John Cena, he'd be like, it was a broken nose. It's cool. I'm good. I finished the match. I mean, that's the way you do it. So, all right, anyway, enough of that. So that's my thoughts, basically, on you know, what went down on the old Monday Night Raw. Going to take a quick break, come back, and I will give thoughts and opinions about, you know, the Hulk Hogan, the whole thing with Hulk Hogan that's been going on for the past several days. All right, sit tight. I'll be right back. This is Taz, Human Podcast Machine. Don't go anywhere.
All right. This is break time.
All right, let's talk about my boys over at DraftKings. So the Bronx Bombers and the New York Metropolitans are in the top of the heap. Life is good. You want to make some money? Grab Harvey, grab Tanaka, grab Texera, grab some Astros and Cardinals. Call it a day. You're good.
Hey, man, I did pretty well. I took some Yankees, went against King Felix, and the Yankees smacked him around to share a little grand slam. I won a couple bucks.
Oh, wow. A little DraftKings action for Seth. That's very nice. I'm very proud of you.
Boom.
Good job, Jobber. Well, anyway, hurry to DraftKings.com right now. Enter promo code TAZ, that's Taz, and play for free. You could win part of $300 million in prizes awarded this season. Use promo code TAZ for entry right now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.com, that's DraftKings.com. All right. Welcome back to the Human Podcast Machine. I'm Taz, and hope you guys like that breakdown I just gave you of Raw and my points of view on some of the elements of Raw, not the whole Raw. Hulk Hogan. Talk about topical news for the past several days. You know, if you have been hiding in a, you know, under a rock somewhere, bottom line is thing, Hulk Hogan was recorded 8 years ago, I believe it was, saying a lot of racial things, dropping the N-word left and right. He was being recorded, unbeknownst to him, while he was during this whole sex tape thing that happened years ago, like I guess 8 years ago, like I said, and it surfaced. National Enquirer broke it out there, busted out there, and then, good gosh, everybody grabbed it. The WWE fired him, basically diminished everything about him and abolished everything about him on their site. Everything about Hulk Hogan, gone. Very sad. The whole thing, this my point of view, the whole thing. Mainly the comments he said, the words he used. I know it was 8 years ago. People change. I know that too. And unfortunately, you know, we all make mistakes. We do. And the more unfortunate thing is we got to be accountable for our mistakes. And I think Hulk's feeling that now 8 years later. Some of the things he said while he was being recorded, in my opinion, that N-word thing, I hate it, okay? I hate that word. A lot of you all hate that word. Some of you don't care about that word. I hate the word. Okay, I, you know, went to a high school that was very diverse, a whole mixture of Hispanics to Caucasian kids to Asian kids to, you know, African-American kids. So I grew up a certain way where you knew the boundaries, you knew where and when not to disrespect other nationalities, races, or what have you. So I grew up that way, and I believed that way. But I also knew kids that would say that word that weren't African-American. And it was, I just wasn't a fan. I just never got into it. I never said it. I don't believe in that. I think that word's disgusting. My son's a teenager, and he's the same way. My wife's the same way. We don't say that. Now, speaking of teenagers, the music these kids listen to, I'm almost like an old man here. You know, any kind of hip-hop or rap music, I mean, most of these songs have that N-word in it on a constant basis. Any of you that listen to that music or have a teenage boy or girl that listens to that music or you allow to listen to it, you understand that those songs have, like, N-word nonstop. Doesn't make it right. And you know, I some would say, well, it's a double standard because an African-American person can say that and there's no heat, but a white person says it. Well, yeah, you're damn right. That's the way it should be. Hey, look, I'm Italian, okay? And if I'm talking to another paisan, another Italian guy, and I say, I call him a WAP or a Guinea, hey, that's I'm one, you know, and he's one. We laugh. But if somebody comes in to the conversation and says that isn't, well, that's a problem. You know, and I just believe there's those certain lines. And that's just my opinion, my commentary, my stance. Has nothing to do with CBS Radio or Play It. That's my opinion on the whole race thing. I don't want to dwell on it. I'm not a fan of it. A lot of you were asking me to give an opinion about Hulk Hogan and tweet me a lot since the news broke. I laid out. I didn't say nothing because I'm not comfortable with it. I don't believe it should be part of wrestling. It shouldn't be part of sport. It shouldn't be part of anything. It's just not a good topic. But Hulk Hogan is arguably the biggest name in the history of sports entertainment and pro wrestling. So you have to, I have to give an opinion on it, and that's why I'm doing this. I got to tell you, in my time getting to know Hulk Hogan in the WWE when I was commentating SmackDown and then during TNA, I always got along with Hulk. Hulk was always really, really nice to me, always really cool to me, and I always had that respect for Hulk. And a lot of us in the business respect Hulk because of what he's done. And no matter if he's, people say he's a good guy, people say he's a bad guy. I can just speak for myself. He's never done anything bad to me. And he was definitely a guy who paved the way for so many of us and had so much success. But, you know, this just, I don't think you come back from this, in my opinion. Unfortunately for Hulk, I think that he's going to have to, you know, he's going to have to do the job here bad on this because this is bad what he said, even though it was years ago. Bad. And I think he's just, and then apparently he's still tweeting and retweeting stuff. And I think PW Insider, I was reading, I think it was Dave Shearer or Mike Johnson, one of the guys at PW Insider was saying, you know, like tweeting about or something, said something on one of their sites, say, you know, someone, I'm paraphrasing, stop Hulk Hogan, someone get control of this guy's Twitter account because he's like, he shouldn't be doing this. I mean, Hulk, you need to just, you know, chill and just get out of the public eye in every way, shape, or form. I mean, I don't understand. I'm a little confused. I mean, you got to just chill. It's just bad. It's real bad. I think it's a black eye in the wrestling business. just because Hulk Hogan was such a powerful force in the business and in mainstream entertainment. People, everybody knows Hulk Hogan. So I think that hurts the business a little bit. WWE, I think, did the right thing. They have to and had to distance themselves from him. And they knew it right away. Once they knew the National Enquirer was going to drop this thing, it seems like they just cut him out of every single thing. And they have to. They are a publicly traded company, a multi-million billion dollar phenomenon. They have to protect themselves. So no one can fault or knock WWE for the way he handled this, honestly. I just think it's sad. I think it's sad. I think that especially, for folks that he offended heavily, namely, anyone that was a fan of his that maybe is African-American. I think it's or wrestlers that are African-American. I mean, we saw tweets from people like Booker T or Mark Henry, and I think those gentlemen handled their tweets properly, in my view, the way the things they posted. And you can go on their Twitter accounts to check them out. I'm not going to read them here. I just think the whole situation sucks. And, there's a part of me that wants to keep saying I feel bad for Hulk. But how do you feel bad? I mean, he said this. You hear it on tape. Like, it's like, how do you feel bad for the guy? You can't. He said it. Even though it was years ago, and he's changed, I guess, or whatever. It doesn't matter. It's like, it's reprehensible comments, and those it's just not cool. And I'm not an angel. I've hasn't been an angel my whole life. I try to do the right thing. I pride myself on that. You know, we all make mistakes in life. In everything, we're all sinners. We all make mistakes. I'm not going to get on my religious soapbox here, but we all make mistakes. We're going to keep making mistakes. Some mistakes are bigger than others. This was a big mistake. And the guy didn't know he was being taped, right? So some would say, well, dude's being taped and he didn't know. I what are you going to say about that? It doesn't matter. He said it. It was a private conversation. You would think that's a private conversation, it stays private, but his feelings kind of came out while his privacy was invaded. I mean, that's kind of what happened here. I just think Hulk Hogan's done. Sad way to go out, sad way to go down. It's kind of in a different, this might sound very weird, just again, my opinion, kind of reminds me of the great legacy career that like a Joe Paterno had at Penn State. And then all that stuff happened, the charges against his coaches and stuff like that and all that. And then for someone like Joe Paterno, and then once he steps down and he passes away, it was just so weird, the whole thing. And I was always a fan of Penn State football, and all that stuff. And I just thought it was just a really funky way for a bad way for such a legacy coach to go down, a legacy household name like Paterno. And it's kind of similar in my crazy mind with Hulk Hogan, I don't know if that makes sense to any of you all, but it just kind of, to me, I just felt like sharing that with you guys. Just my opinion. Don't bash me on it. Just the way I feel, So I'm just trying to be real with you guys. And, I don't work off a script. I'm just shooting and just giving my feelings on it, All right, look, that's my whole dealio. Hope you guys enjoyed this edition of the Human Podcast Machine. Like I said, coming back at you next week a couple times in the whole month of August. And then we're going to crank this thing up heavy duty. Once the leaves start turning, I'm Taz, you're not seeing.